Welcome to the Tech Today podcast with your host, John Maeda. So you're looking at an article we published yesterday, worst case for the economy and markets. And so I was just trying to think of different catalysts that could change investor psychology around the markets. We are in bubble territory again in the equity markets. And the Fed created this condition with QE. Which it started in 2009 and got increasingly aggressive with over the years. So now, as a result, institutional investors are conditioned to the Fed putt, the Fed saving the market, which it has done even as recently as 2023 and early 2024. If you think about the Fed's backdoor QE program, the Bank Term Funding Program, that was a $200 billion bailout. So the Fed is still in the bailout business. And I suspect that if now with the BTFP no longer extending new loans, if we see the Fed discount window ramp, and we saw a pretty good ramp this week, 133%, if we see that ramp aggressively in the coming weeks, the Fed's going to lower rates at the next meeting. I think if we see that $6 billion number go to $20 or $30 billion in the next couple of weeks, the Fed's going to lower. So persistently high prices. To me, the inflation game is no longer the game. The game now is the price level. And prices are such that at some point, I wish I could predict when, but at some point the consumer is going to crack, because we've seen cracks, right? We've seen the consumer hit record debt levels, $17.5 trillion in household debt as of Q4 2023. I actually have that in a chart here. There we have it. Can I expand that? Not really. But this consumer debt, $17.5 trillion as of end of December. And that's because consumers are putting everyday expenses on credit cards, given where prices are. And I didn't put CPI in here. I did put CPI in there. There's CPI. CPI doesn't exactly tell the entire story. I think CPI is up a total of 17% since 2021, which is not true. Real world prices are up significantly more than that. We increased the money supply as measured by M1 by 420% as a result of the COVID response. And you can see M1 there in this chart. M2, I didn't plug in. That's a broader measure of money, obviously. M2, I think the aggregate is up 40% since the beginning of the COVID response. Real world prices are up a bit more than that, quite a bit more than that. If you've been going to the grocery store and you compare prices today versus 2020, depending on the item, many items are still up well over 100%. Houses versus 2020, I don't know if you can believe Kay Schiller. Crypto, equities, those price levels are all up quite a bit, triple digit. So prices are a factor, and at some point the consumer will crack. We're seeing delinquency rates tick up. So the cracks are there, and at some point banks and other lenders are going to call debt home. We already see it sort of with automobile repos. So again, I wish I could predict exactly when that will be. I suspect sometime this year, the consumer will crack if rates remain elevated. So the Fed says Fed funds will remain above 4% this year and remain north of 3% in 2025. That could be the case. I think something's going to happen in the economy before then. That's going to see the Fed take rates down to 2% or less. I talked about last night in podcast episode 486 that if the banks struggle, similar to what we saw last year where they had a liquidity crunch whereby unrealized losses became so great that when depositors started to move deposits, the banks didn't have the collateral to use to borrow liquidity. And we could see something like that happen again. Rates remain elevated, so I suspect that unrealized losses for the banks when they report in early April will be higher than they were at the end of December. I don't know that they'll be back to September 30, 2023 levels, but probably somewhere between September quarter end and December quarter end. And that's going to be a problem for the banks, or for those banks that have already used the liquidity provided to them through the bank term funding program. If they've used that liquidity, deployed it in the form of new loans, and if some of those banks who are light on liquidity have large unrealized losses, it will force them to pull back on credit. You'll start to see them curtail lending activity, which will lead to a slowdown, which will then therefore cause market psychology to change. So price levels, higher rates, hot wars, we have a number of them. Ukraine, Russia, that could be over tomorrow if we wanted it to be, but we don't. We want the forever war there so that Lockheed and Northrop, Raytheon, these guys can continue to get paid. So Ukraine is the gift that keeps on giving. You know, the Houthis are causing shipping disruptions in the Red Sea. And who knows how long that will go for. I think, was it China, Russia, just earlier this week, have sort of an agreement with the Houthis where the Houthis say they won't pirate China's ships, Russia's ships. Different story for us, different story for Egypt. Got 110 million people in Egypt. I think 40% of their economy is tied to commerce in the Red Sea. So what happens when this disruption persists as far as Egyptians are concerned? You don't want to see Egypt become destabilized. Gaza, I don't know what Israel is doing there. They very well should have flooded the tunnels, chose not to. So now they're fighting a surface war, and it's just a mess. And I don't know how much longer that's going to persist. China, Taiwan, we've talked about that, written about that at length. That could happen any day. The weather patterns are optimal in April, May. I think it was the Journal, perhaps it was Bloomberg, that wrote last week that China would like to be prepared to invade Taiwan by 2027. Why they wouldn't do it now under the Biden administration is beyond me. Now's the time to do it if you're China, because the Biden administration won't react. And terrorism could certainly change market psychology, right? We saw four terrorists kill 150 million people plus, 150 people plus in Moscow at their concert hall. And if you look at our border here, the southern border of the United States, and Biden's open door policy, and the government data that I collected when I wrote this earlier in the week was Customs and Border Patrol has had over 9 million encounters. And so if you assume you've got, call it 9 to 10 million people that have come through the border illegally over the past 3 years, and let's say 1% of them are potentially bad apples, then that's close to 100,000 people that may be capable of something like what we saw in Moscow. And so that would certainly turn the economy south in markets. And then I talk about the potential for civil unrest. And sure, we have the election coming up, and that could cause protests one way or the other. I'm thinking less about that and more about what we're doing in fiscal policy when I talk about civil unrest, because we've created, you know, FDR sort of kicked off the social society with Social Security and other government-related benefits. So you built a welfare class there. LBJ raised the bar a little bit. Obama raised the bar a bit more. And frankly, Trump and Biden raised the bar even more with their helicopter money. So not only did they grow income assistance programs and with the employee retention credit program that just wrapped up in September, which kept small businesses more than afloat, made them flush with cash, small and medium businesses that the ERC was for companies with 500 employees or less. I went through that list in 2021. It was sickening. I published it because firms such as Guggenheim, who don't need the capital, got government money. And frankly, I don't want to see any business getting government money. A starving person, yes. A business, no. Nor do I want to see the government say you must shut your business down. The lockdowns are outrageous. But we use COVID to grow the welfare class. Both Trump and Biden guilty. What was it, $3 trillion in total in helicopter money over two stimulus checks plus all of the other ancillary welfare programs for corporate welfare in particular? Some of the public sector, some of the private sector as a result of the CARES Act. You know, the Fed grew its balance sheet by some $5 trillion plus. I think the spend between Trump and Biden is approximately $10 trillion at this point. We ran, if I recall, a $3.3 trillion deficit in 2020, $2.7 trillion deficit in 2021, $2.2 trillion deficit 2022, last year, 1.7, this year. Last I checked, which was last week, we were up about 15% year to date in terms of fiscal spend. And we could see a hockey stick in Q4. So let's call it 2 trillion, maybe 2.25 trillion in a fiscal deficit this year for the fiscal year ending October. So 62 cents of every dollar in fiscal 2023 went to some form of a welfare program. Social Security, Medicare, income assistance, public schools. You know, the Department of Education got $490 billion in September of 2022 as a result of the CARES Act. So $500 trillion to the Department of Education. So that's the type of thing we're doing here in the United States. We've created a welfare class. So what happens when we keep printing money and the dollar eventually goes to zero or some number close to zero, right? A new car. Where today the average price is 48.8, if 49K goes to 100K. Eggs peaked at what in 2022? Was it $9 at the store for a dozen eggs for me? And I think that was around the high for the nation. What happens when that number is $25? What happens when the US doesn't have the money to spend? So, like companies, I think it was during COVID. End of 2020, GE said, oh, you know, we can't afford to pay out these pension benefit obligations. What happens when the country, like many companies, can no longer afford to pay Social Security, which is technically bankrupt today? But at some point, given dollar devaluation, given debt levels, we're at $34.6 trillion in debt now. And the cost of that debt is averaging up as short-term treasuries roll over at higher rates. So we'll be at around $1 trillion this year, some number north of $1 trillion next year, if we don't take Fed funds down sharply. And you have the interest expense on the debt, on the treasury debt outstanding, crowding out other fiscal spend. So I can promise you the federal government will not pay Social Security benefits before it pulls back on military spending. So what happens when those benefits get pulled away? That's going to be the cause for social unrest. Because that day, unless the United States exercises fiscal restraint, that day is coming. When is a question of the assumptions? Where will the Fed funds rate be? How much debt will be outstanding? What will be the size of the fiscal deficits? By the way, we don't need to have fiscal deficits. We choose to. So given all those assumptions that they may be 20 years from now, or we may pull it forward and maybe 5 years from now. But that day is coming, and something tells me that the Biden administration is probably going to want to write another fiscal stimulus check prior to the election. It won't do it now because it's too early, but maybe in the summer, maybe if the economy starts to really roll over. Nope, there's another $2 trillion stimulus check in the mail, which is a recipe for more dollar devaluation, i.e., inflation, price inflation. And that's just going to pull the day of reckoning in terms of our fiscal reckoning forward. And on that pleasant note, have a great Easter. That's all for now. See you next time.